Welcome back to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
Meatballs.
Mm-hmm. It's just a great way to
feed a lot.
I keep
thinking
it's
going to be funny when I say meatballs to you, and you just don't think it's funny.
No, that's because I'm hungry, and I'm thinking about what I would actually do right now if I was making meatballs, which I'd like to make them from lamb and pork, or pork and veal, or veal and chicken. You know, having a couple of different types
mixed
of meat. Yeah, mixed. And I was talking about chili powder earlier, especially if I'm doing, let's just say I'm doing pork straight. And I would add a little bit of chili powder. I'd add a little bit of saffron if I had it. I'd grind it in my hand and really rub it into the meat mixture, salt, pepper. And I put a little bit of what we call panko. So a little bit of that's a really crispy kind of neutral.
Just a really airy, neutral breadcrumb.
Breadcrumb, yeah. It's perfect for this. I usually put two, I'm making 5 pounds. So this is 5 pounds of ground pork. That's what I would make for a
meal. Because when you're
meal.
Making dinner for the two of you.
Well, so I think they're all.
And you're really hungry.
They can figure out what I'm saying. So I usually put 2 to 3 whole eggs in, say, 5 pounds of ground meat. And I would probably put about a cup of breadcrumb. And you really have to season it. And you really should test it. That's the beauty of it. You know, before you make them, you can just make a little patty, a tiny little patty out of your force meat and saute it in a little saute pan, pop it in the oven for a minute, or just do it so thin that you can do it straight on the stove and taste it.
Making a tiny little hamburger?
Yeah, make a tiny little hamburger. And
I'm sorry. I just like getting you to say that you're making hamburgers.
Yeah, we know how I feel about those.
Wait till you get your chef's challenge.
Oh, gosh. So you do need a little bit of breadcrumb. You do need a little bit of egg. And another way to go is to not use either one of those things and to put yogurt in there, which I love. So really good, you know, really good, thick, awesome, great yogurt. And I would definitely go sort of Middle Eastern spices with that. And that's a good place for sumac. It's a good place for a little bit of curry. Or make your own, or do your own spice mix of turmeric, cardamom, ground, obviously. A little bit of, you could do sage as well, which is not Middle Eastern, obviously, but is a different direction you could take it in. But there's just so many different spices. It's kind of what you're in the mood for. If you are drinking wine, what's going to go with your wine, and who your guests are.
Well, you don't do so much that you want to dominate it.
No.
People get a little aggressive
right.
Sometimes.
You want to taste the ground pork or lamb, or don't say it, Tony.
Burger.
And
you want to do that test burger. It's okay. You can say it.
Mm-hmm. So
come on.
And then I like to cook it in tomato puree, a little stock, sautéed onions, a little bit of garlic, and just cook the meatballs in.
I'm talking the meatballs themselves.
Yeah. Or you can roast them in the oven, of course. So you could go either way. But I love to cook them very slowly in just a great tomato sauce, basically.
Just let them kind of caramelize in that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love. And then we make rice. We make a pretty neutral, you know, pretty straightforward rice with chicken, light chicken, maybe a little Tabasco, salt and pepper, and a little bit of onion sauteed in butter, and then a little extra butter doesn't hurt. So when you make rice, rice loves butter. So if you add a little bit right at the end before it starts to
cook. What do you make that doesn't love butter?
Everything loves butter. Everything in the world loves butter, except for the people that don't eat butter.
Well, they probably love it.
They
don't eat it.
They choose not to, right? Got it? So, yeah, I think meatballs can be a lot of fun to make. I mean, I remember when my mom made meatloaf when I was a child, and I truly hated meatloaf when I was a kid. And so I don't know. I think it was because she wouldn't cook the onions
Was the gravy thing?
It was a lot. No, there was no gravy.
Oh.
Oh, no. She never made. No.
That's tough.
No. There were a lot of big raw onions in there. And I think that's what really irritated me as a child.
So like it's a
Like
a well-done meatloaf.
I was born to be a chef, so
like
I could make food that I liked.
Like a well-done meatloaf with big old onion chunks in there.
Actually, that's not true because my mother was a great cook, but and my mother made a lot of very, very good food.
Well, maybe
but
that wasn't your favorite
meatloaf
item.
Was not her. Yeah,
it's
her
okay.
Bag.
You can say that wasn't a good dish.
Yeah, it wasn't. And then the other thing she would do is she would take, oh gosh, I feel kind of bad saying this, but she would make a potato puree for dinner. And then the next day, I hate onions. I always hated onions when I was a kid because I think there was a lot of raw, large pieces of onion that went into food. That's not how you handle an onion. She would put
well, it's how your mom handled onions.
Big diced pieces of onion into the potatoes and lightly form them into a cake and lightly flour them and saute them, which that could have been really, really good. I think it was just the kind of raw onion aspect that I
sort of like a Pennsylvania Dutch latke.
I guess, yeah. Never thought of it that way, but yeah. I mean, it's a good way to utilize leftover potatoes. Why not? I would saute the onions first before I added it to the mixture, or else make them really tiny. So anyway, there we have it. Is it time for a chef's challenge?
Oh, I don't know. I'm still amazed that you're talking about your mom's onion issues on the radio. Yeah, I can give you.
My mother lives in North Carolina. She doesn't listen to the show.
Now that you're on a roll, why don't you go ahead? Okay, so your challenge, your circumstances.
Oh boy.
Hello.
There's
a very big football game coming.
Oh.
And you have people coming over that want to watch the football game. Gee, I wonder what this could be.
What do you mean?
The football game. Do you know?
Oh, what game it would be?
Yes,
I do actually. Yes.
All right. So the circumstance is you have many people coming who want to eat sandwiches. And your mission is to take the ingredients that you have and make
sandwiches. You know, I don't really.
Stuff that you can pick up and eat between two pieces of bread.
Skirt steak, beef, ground pork, broccoli, provolone cheese, molasses. What?
Yeah.
Chili peppers.
You happen to have molasses.
Green tomatoes, Yukon Gold potatoes. Oh my gosh, Tony. Dijon mustard, pickled peppers. Bread of your choice.
You can't make a sandwich without having some kind of bread.
Some
or
sort of,
roll.
What does
or...
this say before the smoked bacon?
Smoked bacon.
Okay. And then that's
hickory,
says,
perhaps.
Yeah, it kind of looks like it. Pantry, dairy, spices, no fresh herbs?
Nope.
Oh. Dandelion green. Oh, nope. Yeah, dandelion green's great.
This is a man food event.
All right.
Okay.
I can't even make sense of this list of food product you've given me here.
That's because it's for making sandwiches.
All right. Well, obviously, I have to grill the skirt steak, so I need to get. I sound very enthusiastic. So you're gonna make,
You bet you can't wait till these people come over.
Well, this wouldn't be happening. Okay. None of this would be happening. So we don't even have to worry about it. So grill the skirt.
Do you have a dress code for the football
steak.
Game?
Is that... and then obviously it's going to be very, very thinly sliced. So light salt and pepper. I'm going to put a good bit of black pepper and cayenne and salt on the outside of the skirt steak. Grill it to medium rare and then just let it cool down on the board. And the ground pork. I really don't know what I'm supposed to do with ground pork for a sandwich.
Perhaps you could make meatballs.
And make meatballs sandwich. Oh, yeah. People do eat that, don't they? Oh, my gosh.
What?
Golly. All right. Oh. All right. Ground pork, chili peppers are
Touch
going
down.
Together, and then salt and pepper. I don't know. And then I'm going to make meatballs, apparently. And
you don't have to.
Wow. What am
you
I doing
You can make burgers.
So I'm just going to, you know, I normally don't try to ignore your ingredients, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that molasses. So the green tomatoes, I'm obviously going to fry because that's going to be great on a sandwich. And that's what's going to go on the skirt steak beef sandwich, which is going to be on the best bread ever made known to man, which will be some form of baguette. And then I will cut the baguette into I'm going to make toast points out of the baguette, right? Long ones. So I'll brush them with butter.
You can't make canapes. Okay, you can't make canapes.
I knew you.
It's a sandwich.
All right, so I'm going
to make canapes.
I don't care what, this is my food. So I'm going to make them into toast points.
You're going to serve with a glass of rosé?
I'm going to lay thin layers of the, champagne. Pink rosé champagne. Come on. If I'm making sandwiches, we're having champagne.
And sandwich canapes.
Yeah. And then I'm going to melt the provolone on
there.
It's
your second touchdown, yeah.
I'm going to melt the provolone, and I forgot what I said I was doing with the chili peppers. The Yukon Gold potatoes, I'm going to make French fries with that. That's easy. The Dijon mustard is going to be the garnish for what you dip your Yukon Gold potatoes in. Do you have mayonnaise on here? Well,
pantry.
I have some mayonnaise, yes, which I will mix with the Dijon mustard, and then I'll have my pommes frites. The pickled peppers, which I do like the idea of those, so that will be also the garnish on the beef. Boy, that bruschetta is getting to be pretty serious.
God bless
bacon.
America.
Bacon.
It's
going on that. Bacon's going on that too, and the ground pork, the meatballs. I'm going to make a salad with the broccoli. So that'll be extra virgin olive oil, a little bit of red pepper flakes, salt and pepper, small pieces of broccoli. So you can just kind of eat that with your sandwich. It'll be like the side, maybe a little bit of finely sliced onion with that. And then the dandelion greens tossed in at the end. That's just really weird. Oh, I'll put the dandelion greens on the sandwich too with the meatballs. Yeah, that'll be a nice accompaniment. And the meatballs need to be in a roll. So seeing that I'm from Pennsylvania, sort of, it's going to be a potato roll.
Oh.
I love those things.
I thought you were going to say pretzel roll.
No, a potato roll. Yeah.
Potato
All right,
roll.
That's it. I'm done with that.
Boy.
Don't ever give me a sandwich again, Tony.
Yeah, that was really
that's
irritating.
Traumatic.
Yeah, that was really irritating for you. Gosh. Make a sandwich.
All right.
For every person that's ever been up late at night wanting to have something really good to eat or wanted to watch a game with a large meal in their hand, that's why they have sandwiches.
Okay.
All right. So you get me.
Slightly different list of products.
Okay. I may have to read this with an accented voice. Pork belly, tripe, brace of quail. Sorry.
That's because I put brace,
brace
on there.
Brace, exactly.
That's
because
Tony
you put brace
has
of
been
quail.
Transported back to the
it's
1600s.
It's a pair of
in
quail.
In England, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Garlic, onion, shallot, carrot, celery. Ibérico chorizo. So chorizo, Ibérico chorizo. Tomato puree, red cooking wine, spice cabinet. Let's throw the entire cabinet off the wall into the pot. Black beans, chicken stock. Okay. Awesome. There's one thing that I could make in a heartbeat. You sweat the garlic and the shallot and a little bit of celery for a good while. And the tripe, I'm going to sort of presume that the tripe has already been cleaned
mm-hmm.
and lightly poached one time, just clean it out the second time, okay, in a court bouillon. And then you want to slow cook it with a little bit of the red cooking wine and that sweated garlic and shallot, the tomato puree, a tiny little bit of that chorizo, some of the chicken stock, and hopefully if you have fresh bay or a couple of bay leaves. But you cook that for a while and stew that. And what you desperately need for that tomato poached tripe is an egg. You need a poached egg really
okay.
badly.
Go for it.
That would be...
You have an egg.
And that's just great. You have that and you just
one
pop
per
that
person.
Egg and you crack it. One per person. It's
yep.
just one of the best things in the whole world.
That does sound good. I gave you a much better list than you gave me.
You gave me a short list with, well, I mean, the...
Things that you like.
The pork belly. Easy. That's, you cure it. You roast it. Even better, you can, like, grill big old pieces of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that makes a good sandwich. You gave me nothing to make a sandwich with.
No, I did not.
Give me things to make stock with. You can use the pork belly to make a nice stock, to make a soup with the black
Didn't
beans.
Can I give you beans? Yeah. Right?
Yeah, give me the black beans. So we make a black bean soup, but do it with the... pork belly is crispy pork belly as a garnish and some of the pork belly to make a solid stock. That'd be good. Ibérico chorizo is just great to eat. Would also be great to make stuffing if we had any breadcrumb for those quail. So let's see. So the meal is that's the black bean soup with pork belly as a garnish and as the base of the stock. Ibérico chorizo stuffed into the quail.
Mm. Fun.
Right.
That's fun. Like
a little
that.
Bit, a little bit of carrot in the stuffing too, carrot, onion.
They don't have much of a cavity.
Celery, breadcrumb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
no, but that'll be good.
Mostly, it's really seasoning the bird from the inside out. I mean, that's kind of mm-hmm. that's what you want. That strength of flavor is
it doesn't
nice.
Doesn't take long to cook.
No, I mean, I would just sear the bejesus out of them on both sides in the pan and then slow roast it in the oven.
Is that a cooking term?
Yes.
Hmm.
Searing the bejesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Julia Child's book, really.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
Actually, I know not.
God rest her.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what else is there to deal with? Oh, then the tripe. And the tripe is the tripe. That's the best dish.
Got it.
So when you do the Super Bowl party, what kind of drinks are you going to serve with your sandwiches?
Something with a lot of vodka in it. I don't know.
Welcome to Cindy Wolf's Super Bowl party, where there'll be lots of canapes and
vodka. Well, I can tell you what I did one time for a certain group of Chateau Neuf du Pape winemakers that came to
you did very,
the house.
You did very traditional football game food.
Well, no, I made terrine au foie gras with prunes and Armagnac.
Like I said.
And
very
I made,
traditional for you. That's why
well,
you're telling
but
your
I
story.
Also made Southern food because the lady that was the wife of the man that was entertaining the winemakers from Chateauneuf is from the South. So I made collard greens, and I believe I made shrimp creole and rice. And but I did have a couple of French dishes as well, which, I mean, that was a lot of fun. They loved everything. We had a great time.
Those guys drank a mountain of wine at my house.
Oh, yeah. That, yes.
Because I think there was a rugby match.
Yes, there was an impromptu
in the living room.
Rugby they did not match.
They did not understand the game, but they did understand that there was meant to be, after the much wine, there was big physical contact.
Yes. Yeah, it was quite a few years ago. People were younger.
Yes. And you're pointing at me, I know.
I'm not pointing
at anyone.
You can't
see it on the radio. Well, regardless of all that.
So with your tripe dish, what wine are you, your chef's challenge, what wine are you serving?
You can drink white or red with that dish. You can drink the white that's best from Piemonte. For that's probably Gavi di Gavi. Cortese is the grape. That does very well. If you're going to have a red, it's Barbera that you want. Something that's going to be like firm, bright, balance the acidity of the tomato. That's really kind of the trick. You might think, oh, it's an egg dish. I can drink sparkling. Like, no, you don't want something off dry. You don't want something tannic. Wine always has to function with the dish first. And the tomato and then the egg are the overriding things. And tripe is not strongly flavored.
Right.
It's delicately flavored and delicately textured. That's the nature of it. Yeah. Now with quail with the chorizo in it, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, that's going to be some fun
You could do a pretty big exotic red for that kind of guy. Quail has good flavor. The dish will end up having
a reasonable
fat. How
about Vega Sicilia?
You could absolutely drink Vega Sicilia.
That would be delicious.
You could trade in your Bentley for the Vega Sicilia. Yeah. You can drink, more modestly, very good Rioja. Here's a quick tip. If you find any more 2009 Riojas out in the world, vintage is great. They're going to age a really long time. Watch for those. Even the Crianças will do reasonably. The Reservas especially will do very, very well for a long time in the cellar. If you can find nines, tens also, but nines.
Okay, good. Good.
So,
that was fun.
I think that's all we have time mm-hmm. for. I know you've got to get ready for your practice sandwich making. So if you want to follow Chef Cindy Wolf on social media and see all of her sandwich photographs, you would go to...
On Instagram, it's Chef Wolf. On Twitter, it's Chef Cindy Wolf.
Mine is The Real Tony Foreman. If you want to download podcasts of this...
Are there people impersonating you, Tony? Is that why it's The Real Tony Foreman?
I'm not certain, but I feel much more secure. I feel much more secure with that. If you want to download this broadcast or any others, please go and find podcasts on the WYPR website. Go to the Foreman Wolf homepage, and you can look them up there. And if you want to contact us, email us, please, foremanwolf@wypr.org. Thanks very much for listening.
Happy Sunday.